So what's up, guys? Welcome to episode 375 of the PS4 Blackcast. I am JC. I'm with this week is Mazette.
Hello.
Izzy is out today, so he will not be joining us. But we do have a decent amount of stuff to go through. We got two things from the DC Fandome event, and we got a bunch of other stuff that came out this week, including Call of Duty and some delays, as well as some new release dates for other things. So let's just go ahead and jump right into it. As far as new releases goes, the only thing I know that came out this week was the PGA Tour 2K21, which is the updated version of the Golf Club, which was the previous franchise. Now they've merged kind of with the entire PGA Tour, so they got all like the franchising, all the brand licensings, I guess, and they got a bunch of they kind of merged the two things together into a new game. Like, don't think any other big games have come out this week. Yeah, I don't see anything big. I know this weekend is the final beta for Avengers is this weekend. But other than that, I don't think there's anything else. I know the season 6 for Apex Legends did start. I know there's the new season of Warzone, but I believe that started last week, considering that there was that was last week, because there was like a big old glitch on that game where like a bunch of guns would turn into extremely scary abstract art pieces, and it was like, my god. But they had like spikes. It's like someone, like, you know Mario 64, like if you hold down like the one, like the Z button or whatever, and you could stretch Mario's face in the main menu, and it like makes all these triangles come out of it, kind of. It's like, yeah. It's like that. It's like someone did that with like the guns in Modern Warfare, and they just start picking random points of the gun and just stretch them, so it's like the spiky club weapon that looks like a scary Dark Souls knockoff. It was just insane.
All the polygons just shoot off into infinity.
Yeah, it was just like, what is going on? But nothing big. We did get the announcement this week that Ghost of Tsushima will be getting a co-op multiplayer this fall. It's called Ghost of Tsushima Legends. It was announced earlier this week. There will be two versions of the multiplayer. It's going to be a co-op multiplayer and then a four-player one that's more focused on, like, it says the co-op goes up to four-player, but the way they talk, yeah, here's the quote. Thank God they have it. With two players in Ghost of Tsushima Legends, you'll be able to play a series of co-op story missions that escalate in difficulty, building on the foundation of combat from the single-player campaign, but with new magical twists that often require careful synchronization with your partner. With four players, you'll be able to take on wave-based survival missions, fight groups of the toughest enemies Tsushima has to offer, including new Oni enemies and with supernatural abilities. And raids will also come to that four-player one. So it's weird that they're, I guess it's a balance thing. Like, it's easier to make a co-op mission where it's just two people versus, okay, what if you have three or four? Where it's like, in most other games, like, they throw in co-op, it's typically because the single-player version of it is, like, is used as the base thing. They don't fix anything. They don't, like, most games will just have a basic, oh, you have an extra person, okay, the enemies are tougher with more health, and there's maybe bonus loot, and that's it. So if they design them specifically for co-op, since you obviously can't do it solo, that would make sense. It's like, okay, well, if at least two, this is how it goes. They have player has to work together to do this so they can fine-tune the enemy placement, what the enemies do, their fighting style, stuff like that, versus if they had to scale it up for four people. So that'll be interesting. And I like how it's being more fantastical, because there are, as you play through the game, there is this musician guy who tells, like, these tales of Tsushima. And that's how you find, like, mystical armor sets or magic, like, special combat abilities. But it always comes to the tale of, like, someone who harnessed the power of lightning and fought off these demons. Even though it's like, once you get there, it's like, okay, it's just a tale. It's not real. So, like, the idea they're taking these supernatural tales and turning them into, like, putting them into this multiplayer stuff. So that seems kind of cool. But I'm curious to see, like I said, if it's going to be later this fall, I guess I would play it on, I'll just play it on PlayStation 5. Since I'm sure, obviously it'll run better. And then maybe they'll do like a PS5 specific patch for it. That'll be interesting. And then we also have the Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe Edition. Got delayed to 2021. This is the edition that was going to come to consoles. that was the game I was looking for. I wanted to play on PC. It originally came back out in 2019. Well, it also came out on consoles, but the last, let's see, November, they had announced, so I'm trying to see what's different about the special Ultra Deluxe Edition, because I never played Stanley Parable and Steve. Don't know what the difference is between the two. But yeah, if you're looking forward to it, it's been delayed. Speaking of delays, Deathloop, which is a timed exclusive on PS5, got delayed until Q2 of 2021, obviously because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Then the delayed Crisis Remastered has a new launch date of September 18th. That'll be on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. That'll be $30, so if you want to play it. Apparently it's going to have, I believe I saw somewhere, it's going to have system or software-based ray tracing. But I don't know where I saw that from. I don't know if it was a Digital Foundry tweet or what. Let's see. Crisis Remastered focuses on the original single-player campaign. It's slated to contain high-quality textures, up to 8K, HDR support, temporal anti-aliasing, screen space, directional occlusion, global illumination, state-of-the-art depth of field, new light settings, motion blur, parallax occlusion mapping, screen space, reflections and shadows, and yada yada. I haven't seen anything in this article about having software-based radio. That might be a different game I'm thinking of, but yeah, so if you're looking forward to that, I mean, I've already played it, so I'm playing it, but if you haven't, get an updated version. There you go. We've also got they had been teasing the next Call of Duty game in Warzone for the past week and a half, it seems like, and they finally announced Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, which is a really long name. The official full reveal for it will be on the 26th, so that's just in 3 days. So if you're looking forward to that, then there you go. And I know people like of the two franchises between Modern Warfare and Black Ops, after Modern Warfare 2, Black Ops really became the kind of standout as far as campaigns go. Mm-hmm. I know people started to love the Black Ops. I never played it because I played Modern Warfare, and I played World at War, and then I played Modern Warfare 2, but I didn't play, Black Ops came out after that, and that's when I stopped playing Call of Duty multiplayer. So I never went back. But yeah, everybody loves the Black Ops games. Obviously, Black Ops 4 didn't have a campaign because it was just multiplayer and their, you know, blackout battle royale. But yeah, so I mean, it looks interesting. Like I said, if it's a, obviously it'll be on PlayStation 5. So if it's one of those things, like if it's not going to be a lot to play at launch, I could see maybe picking up a Call of Duty as a launch game for PlayStation 5 if the campaign is good. And I like the idea, at least from the teaser trailer, sounds interesting, and the story's good. Like, okay, I'll pick that up, but we'll see. Then we also have news that Master Roshi is the next fighter coming to Dragon Ball FighterZ. There's some gameplay and screenshots of it. You can check that out. I believe he's part of the season pass, I think they have for that game. The season 3 characters, rather. Hmm. Which included Kefla, Ultra Instinct Goku, and I think someone else. But then Marvel's Iron Man VR is also going to get a new patch that adds new game modes and weapons and more. So if you are playing that, you can look forward to it. It also improves load times. You can skip cinematics without loading on replay. It has skippable side missions. So if you want to, if you're playing Iron Man or haven't yet, there's a nice patch. Which right here it adds a new game plus mode as well. So.
If you want to just skip the game, you can just skip the game.
Well, I guess on New Game, I guess there's stuff like in New Game Plus for like, you know, in most games you can skip cutscenes and stuff like that, or side missions, but it's like, if I guess you're just doing NG Plus and you just want to do like the main exploration or the biggest, I don't have any experience in the game, but I imagine like there must be stuff you don't want to do, and it's like, oh, you can just skip them now if you don't want to do them. Like that, like in Final Fantasy VII, when you do the mission on the motorcycle, when you play again, it's like, oh, you can just skip that mission. You know, in chapter 3 or whatever. It's like, yeah, just skip it. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I would.
Yeah. I get it. I got it.
Yeah.
We've already been here.
Yeah. but I like being able to do that. speaking of skipping stuff, I saw that someone reported that the new patch for A Realm Reborn shrinks the main campaign, because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, how they're going to streamline the campaign, get rid of mm-hmm. some of the clunky side stuff, not make it mandatory. It's still there, but not make it required.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're saying that where it normally took 50 to 60 hours to get through A Realm of Morn, or the first campaign stuff, it now, their, you know, second characters they started, it's taken about, it took about 40 hours. So it's still a decent length, but not
mm-hmm.
as much.
Yeah, they got rid of just the stuff that the community really complained about or said that was really just kind of didn't fit the pacing and stuff like that. Like some of the filler missions that were there basically to just give you experience and gear and stuff like that. And then they readjusted the gear drops in a lot of the dungeons. So they just, a lot of like the world building and like filler character, side character stuff, they made it all optional. So if you want to just go through the main story on a second character or, you know, whatever, if you want to do the side stuff later on, that's what they did. They didn't get rid of anything. They just shuffled it around.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to see. I was really curious, like I said, how we talked about it. Like, I was wondering how long it actually take. And like I said, 40 hours is still a decent amount, but obviously it's like you have to level up. Like, that's the biggest part of A Realm of Morn, is going from, like, 0 to, it's 50 is the cap originally?
The original cap, yeah, is 50.
Yeah. So it's like, you have, like, outside of the story, it's like, yeah, if you were just 50 and could do them all, sure, but it's like, you always have to stop. Like, that's the purpose of the side quest, was always to, you do these, they'll get you up. But in
yeah,
A Realm of Morn, you leveled up super quick. Like, you hardly had to do any of I felt like a big chunk of the side stuff I didn't need to do, but I did it just because I wanted those exclamation points off my map. I was like, I might as well. Plus, they give some rewards, and I'm like, okay,
yeah,
at least they get some of this. And you got Gil and everything, so but yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they kind of start doing that for other chapter chunks, or if they feel like those are streamlined enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then this week we had the DC Fandom event this weekend. I believe it's over now. I think it was just Saturday. I thought it was going to be Saturday. I think it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, but I think all the big stuff was announced yesterday. And then today and Monday are just going to be maybe panels, digital panels. But we did get the first announcement from WB Montreal's game, which is Gotham Knights, which was rumored at earlier in the past couple weeks. And basically it has the death of Batman, and then he sends out this message to all the people. So it's got Robin, Batgirl, Nightwing, and Red Hood. And you can, I guess, play either one. They have different play styles. And then you could also, I guess the game's also co-op. They showed off not only the trailer, but they showed a bunch of gameplay. And then the release date for this is going to be in 2021. So it's going to be on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. So it will support last gen and, it'll be at this point, current gen and then next gen. But mm-hmm. it'll have solo play and two-player co-op. So that'll be interesting. apparently, it's also outside the Arkham timeline or universe, which is so weird to me. Like, why does that matter? Like, it's like, no. It's I feel like, but I guess they do that in movies too. Like the Joker movie is outside of the DCEU. It's just a standalone one. Just like the Batman movie that's coming out is going to be outside of it. It's just like this standalone Batman movie. It's like, okay, I guess. But it felt like they had to clarify it really quick. Just like, no, Rocksteady still, like, if they do another Arkham game, it's, this one doesn't count. Like, again.
Yeah, well, probably because the Arkham games are like the Batman DC games, so those are the only ones that people have played and are good, really. So they just need to differentiate that. No, this is in fact not a continuation of that series.
Yeah, but I know people liked Arkham Origins, even though it got the shaft in the Arkham Collection, or the Rocksteady Collection, because Rocksteady didn't do it. But mm-hmm. obviously maybe not be as up to par as the other ones, but from what I've heard, for people who like the Arkham games, they do like Origins. It just gets a bad rap. But, oh well, you know, whatever. But yeah, it was nice mm-hmm. that they actually showed gameplay, because then they showed the Suicide Squad killed the Justice League game from Rocksteady, and it was just a cinematic. And that doesn't come out until 2022. And I'm like, if it doesn't come out until 2022, why show it now?
How much of the game is actually done? Just that cinematic?
When did Arkham... Because Arkham Knight, did that come out at the start of this gen? Like, was that when that came out? I'm trying to see. Because I know they did Arkham VR. Batman Arkham VR, but it's like, I don't really count that. But yeah, Arkham Knight. I gotta look up now. Arkham Knight.
I have no idea. Batman. I know that I was still working in a video game store when it came out.
June 23rd, 2015. So it's been over 5 years. And now you announce a game that's not going to be for another, at this point, could be another 2 years if it releases in September, let's say September of 2022. So that means 7 years since your last major game, not counting the VR game, because it's just a tiny game. It's like,
and also, it's going to be delayed, because all video games are, especially when they're announced this early.
That's probably why they announced it for 2022, is just because, you know, they don't want to say, like if COVID wasn't a thing, like, maybe they could hit 2021. Like, maybe you could do the WWE Montreal's game early, if COVID wasn't here. You do theirs, like, January, February of next year, and then you do Suicide Squad game in, like, Q4. Of 2021. But because of COVID, it's like, okay, we don't know when the Suicide Squad game is going to release, or not, sorry, the Arkham Knights or Gotham Knights. So you just say, okay, well, we have an entire year to work around COVID for that, and then we'll just push this one later. So maybe it'll get a release date bump up, or because 2022 is so nebulous, maybe it'll be Q1. But it's just like, it's so far out. Why announce it? And like I said, there was no gameplay. So, like, when I watched the trailer, I'm like, not that I was going to play either of these games, because I don't really care about the Arkham games, but I'm like, at least with the one you had gameplay, and it's like, I don't know. It just seemed weird. I mean, but, you know, people want to see it, and I guess if you have a CG trailer with no gameplay to back it up with, you can go ahead. It's just, it's been so long, you'd figure at this point they would have something. Even just like a vertical slice, but I don't know.
It's all just a marketing ploy. They say 2022, but they're going to drop it in like 3 months or something.
There you go. Yeah, they're just messing with us.
Like, aha, you thought 2 years, but in fact one.
They have got bamboozled. But yeah, there's that. So I guess people could be excited about both of those. But yeah, other than that, that was it from this week. You said a lot of news, delays, announcements, and then these two were the big things that everybody was looking forward to. So I'm glad they didn't, when I heard that, was like, I thought it was going to be a one-day event, but I heard it was things like, oh man, I hope they don't wait to do it on Sunday or like on Monday. Because I was like, oh, if we record on Sunday, then we can, they'll announce on Saturday and then we can talk about it. If, you know, if it's anything crazy. But yeah, I got worried. I was like, oh man. But yeah, so hopefully those come. You figure at this point, 2021 is kind of nebulous for everything that's been announced. I mean, even at the PS5 event, everything said 2021 is just kind of like, it's just the year. So there's nothing set in stone for anything. So,
yeah.
You figure they could just, Gotham Knight, at least they can kind of like have their pick on when they want to release. And you figure everything else might move out of its way. I feel like, even though it's not the Rocksteady game, I feel like maybe it would have enough of that kind of weight to it that people would want to release around the same time, but we'll see.
I mean, if it looks good, so, and continues to look good.
Yeah, like I said, I like, I was like, hey, this looks good. I mean, I'm not interested in it, but it looks good. And I'm like, all right, yeah. So, but, yeah, we'll see. But, yeah, that's it for all the big news. There's nothing else really. I tried to look up if I had anything saved, but I had no other news articles saved. But yeah, so I guess we'll just jump into what we've been playing. What have you been playing? Still, yeah, I see you on FF14. You're leveling up a new job, right?
I decided to level Dark Knight, and I don't know why. I don't know what got into me. I don't know how to tank. Tanking scares the living hell out of me. But I decided that I would do that anyway, because I leveled Summoner, Because I wanted to play it again. And with Summoner, you also get a free Scholar. So I was like, okay, well, I'll go ahead and gear up Scholar so that I have it if friends need help with something or if we need a healer for something, whatever. At least it's a job where I do half of the healing. The fairy does most of the healing. And then I did the role quests for Shadowbringers with it because I had it leveled. Why not? It can't be that difficult. I just have to heal an NPC. And it was like, the story was really good. It was way better than both of the DPS stories, in my opinion. It was like really good. And I was like, well, now the only one I have left is the tank role quests. And what if those are even better? Because it's all dealing with like the warrior, the generic like Warriors of Light party and the Warriors of Darkness from Heavensward and everything like that. And there was always this weird narrative around the fact that there were at one point three tanks in that party. And I was just thinking, I want to do it now because that's the only thing I have left. But all of my tank jobs are level 20 because I've never played a tank. And I was like, okay, well, I guess it's a good thing to have, just like the healer, for when friends want to do stuff, I can tank it for them, even if I'm bad at it, whatever. But I was thinking of leveling Paladin because it's super easy. And then a friend of mine was like, you know, if you're just leveling for the tank story in Shadowbringers, the Dark Knight story is fantastic, like all the way through from level 30 to 80. And I was like, oh, fuck, okay. Sure, so now I'm leveling Dark Knight, and it scares the hell out of me. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm leveling in Palace of the Dead by myself.
So you said 0 through 80. So after level 50, all the when they increased the level cap, all the jobs got extended story mission? Or like job story mission?
Oh, no. Each job has their individual stories up to 70. And then 70 to 80... they turn them into role quests because each job doesn't have its own individual story anymore, but they wanted to focus on the, like, Ardbert's party. They wanted to focus on their story and the story of what happened leading up to the flood on the first and stuff like that. So each individual job doesn't have a series of quests like they do previously. Like, at every three levels or two or three levels or whatever, there was, like, a story quest with, you know, their individual little stories. They don't have that in Shadowbringers. So up to level 70, you have the normal quests where it's their individual stories and the NPCs and everything like that. And then 70 to 80 are the role quests that they have tank, healer, ranged DPS, and magic DPS. Those are the only four that they have.
I didn't even realize they went from 50 to 70 with more story stuff.
Yeah, it goes all the way up to 70 with the story. And then when you hit level 80, you do the final role quest in Shadowbringers. And then there's like a return quest where you go back to the original job quest NPCs and you like close up ties with them. Because I think this is what they're wanting to do from now on, is rather than having individual quests and stories, they want to have like role quests and then like callback things for each individual story or whatever, but they mostly wrapped up all of the job quests at 70.
And they increased the cap from 50 to 60 in Heavensward, right?
Yes. Okay. Heavensward is 50 to 60, Stormblood is 60 to 70, and then Shadowbringers is 70 to 80.
Okay. Yeah, I that's probably why, because I think I only ever got to, of the few main story quests I did for Heavensward and side quests, I think I only got up to level 53. So I probably wouldn't have seen any of the mission. Now, is it like, do you get more gear from the story missions, or is it just story for the job?
It's just story for the job. So the only thing that you get for them is when you complete the level 80 one, you can go get your level 80 artifact armor. There's not even really like, there's a quest for the first time that you do it, because it kind of tells you the story of how you go about getting the armor and like where the NPC is and everything like that. It's kind of spoilers, but the NPC is in an odd place, and so it kind of explains that. But mm-hmm. after you do that the first time, all you have to do is get that job to level 80 and complete the role quest for that role. And then you can just go buy the artifact, or you don't even really buy it. You just go get it. You pick it up from the NPC. So that's really the only thing you get from doing that. And if you like for magic DPS, I already did that on Red Mage. So all I had to do when I got summoner to 80 was go buy the artifact armor. I didn't have to redo the quests.
Okay.
So you don't get gear for every quest that you do. You get like the normal rewards. I think you get like materia and stuff like that. But no, you don't get like your pieces of artifact or anything like that. They stopped doing that, I think, even in Stormblood, because you get your coffer or whatever at the level 70 quest. You get, it's literally just an item that you open up and it has all of your AF in it. You don't get like the skills anymore. Like you had to do specific job quests to unlock certain skills and abilities and spells and stuff like that. I think they stopped that in... Oh, actually, I don't remember if it was still in Stormblood. I just did the Scholar ones and I didn't really pay attention. But I know in Shadowbringers, they don't really do that anymore. You don't have to do the quest to unlock your skill. You just earn them by leveling.
A Realm of Born as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In the Realm Reborn. You had to do a specific quest to unlock specific skills and stuff like that. I think it did carry over into Heavensward. Like, you, at certain levels, you have to do them to unlock access to that skill or something like that. Or they may have gotten rid of it. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention.
Did you learn them by fighting the person? Well, because I don't know. I don't know any of this. But like for Dragoon, you fought against the Dragoon, the dude, I forget his name. But
Esthinian.
And don't you learn the moves from fighting him?
Is that what? No. Well, maybe for the Dragoon quest. Yeah, I think I haven't done Dragoon quest since Heavensward, so I don't remember. Yeah. But it's different for every job. Like the Scholar ones, you unlock them just by doing the quests. So, but this is why I think it changed, because when I was on Scholar, obviously I was already level 80, so I just went back to do all of the story quests to, you know, do them and complete them and to get the rewards and the AF and stuff from them. But I already had the skills that I was earning from the level 50 quests. So I think they changed it so that you don't necessarily need to do those, because, you know, there was always the problem of like people were out leveling and not doing their job quests. So they didn't have certain skills and you know, people are rude and annoying and would yell at people for not having certain skills and raids and stuff like that. But so I think they changed it so that you don't have to do the quests. They just unlock now. But it's different for each job, because on the Scholar quests, you're just like, it's like a mystery storyline, and there's like this mystery virus and stuff like that, and it has to do with the Tonberries. So you're not actually like fighting any specific NPC, you're like working along with the NPC, so they're not really testing you, you're just kind of like helping them out. So you don't really do anything specific to the skill, you end up just getting the skill as a reward or the spell as a reward for completing it. But for Monk and Dragoon and Paladin and stuff like that, they frame it so that you're being like mentored in that skill, or you're being mentored by this person who's teaching you new things.
And I wish I could,
not that Esthinian is like a good mentor or anything, but you know,
wish I could go back, gotta look at like some old videos, cause like I hardly remember that at all. Like I wish I knew what skills it was that you had, like you had to learn. And I guess like if I just did everything, like all the job quests
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff, just without thinking and just did them, I guess I didn't realize like, oh yeah, hey, unlock this. Like I was like, oh well, it's just, I'm just playing the game. Like I don't recall ever a point being like doing something and it's like, oh, you don't have blah blah blah, like, no, what is that? Well, you better go do the side quest. And I'm like,
yeah.
did it.
It was so more, no really, nobody's really paying attention to what DPSs are doing anyway. As long as you're killing shit, they don't give a shit. But for like, you know, for like white mages and stuff like that, there were specific skills that you had to get through unlocking during the Realm Reborn quest. And if you didn't have that and it came up that you needed that and somebody was like, I don't know what the fuck that is. And you could tell like, okay, well, you haven't been doing your job quests, obviously. But it's not very like, it's a lot more apparent now. That's some of the things that they've been working on through patches and stuff like that, is making it easier for new players to know what to do and know where to start and know where to go and stuff like that. So but I don't know, I'll try to, well, you see, because I'm leveling Dark Knight and that was a Heavensward job, so I'm not going to have, like, the Realm Reborn quests to do.
Right.
But yeah, with Dark Knight, I've already had a couple where I unlocked a new skill by doing the quest. And it wasn't necessarily because I was fighting Frey. She was just, like, she's just, like, mentoring you or whatever, and then you just get the skill. They don't ever, like, reference it directly or anything like that. It was just a reward for doing that particular quest at that level.
Yeah, because I think I remember, like, in, like when I was in, oh my gosh, I'm going to forget, I don't even remember the name of my hometown. Start with the, doesn't start with a G. New
Gridania?
New Gridania, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you go to, like, the job quest NPC, you know, like, oh, you mm-hmm. want to be a dragoon? Okay, you go talk to them. And so I remember, like, I think I remember, like, talking, like, that guy's, okay, go do this quest or do whatever. And you come back and it's like, okay, you learned, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Whatever. So I remember that, but it was like, it's so early on, like, it's like, okay, but yeah, mm-hmm. I just don't remember anything later. Like, oh, evasive jump. You learn it, like, in a cutscene where a rock falls down or, you know, you fight the guy and he jumps back, dodges your hit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you learned how to evasive jump. I don't know what it was, but no. So just FF14?
Yeah, pretty much. Animal Crossing. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I need to get into Season 6 of Apex. I haven't done it yet. I downloaded the update. I'm really looking forward to the new legend. Seems really cool. Especially because she's like, she's Indian, but she's like British Indian, I guess, if that makes sense. Like, you know, because mm-hmm. the colonization. But she's got, like, she's a really cool, she reminds me of, like, so, like, Roger Craig Smith does the voice for Mirage, and Mirage is very jokey, self-deprecating, and funny, and Sheila seems, like, kind of, like, in that same vein as Mirage, not as self-deprecating, but very jokey, mm-hmm. and just doesn't really take it seriously or anything, where, like, as much as some of the other characters take it super serious. So she seems like she'd have really cool interactions with the other legends, because there are legend-specific interactions, and she seems like she has some really cool voice lines and everything. And I really want to play her. And they've done a lot of... So for people who are playing Apex, they did a lot of changes for Season 6. They basically made it to where... So I had talked about when Warzone came out, how one of the things that Warzone does that I like a lot is that you drop in with a pistol, like a Glock, and you have one shield armor. And you can have three shield plates in Warzone. So they had an LTM in Apex at one point where you dropped in with a P2020, a pistol, and I think you also had a level 1 armor body piece. Maybe you didn't. Maybe it was just the pistol. But I was like, I really hope they make this change immediately. And they did that. They made it to where now everybody... They've revamped the armor mechanic entirely. So now instead of dropping the armor... All the armor in the game is the evil armor, which was introduced, I want to say maybe Season 4, so a while back. And evil armor is basically like you pick it up and it's white. And instead of getting typically white armor is 2 armor cells, and then blue is 3, purple is 4, and then gold is 4, but gold has extra bonuses. And the bonuses in this case is that you heal faster. So, like, a med kit would take 10 seconds, now it's only 5. Stuff like that. So, it's a great piece to have. So, it's like, okay. And then they introduced red armor at one point, which was part of the evil armor. So, evil armor, you pick it up, and it's only 1 shield cell, so only 25 HP bonus. and then you do enough damage, like 250 damage to players, and then it ranks up to blue, and then you do more damage, it ranks up to purple, and then it ranks up to red once you do, like, the damage you have to do keeps increasing. So it's like, it's rewarding for people who either, because that one of the problems in Apex and most battle royales in general is that if you're like a player who likes to snipe, a lot of problems you can have is like you snipe someone, and maybe you do a lot of damage, but you can't kill them either because they get to cover because you're sniping because you're so far away, or you don't have like that, you know, the best sniper that comes in the drop or whatever, so you don't get the headshot. So it kind of rewards the people who like to engage in long distances. Maybe they down someone, but that person crawls behind cover and get revived, so you don't get the kill. But now it's like, okay, but you did damage, so that damage you did goes to ranking up your armor piece. So then the armor could max out at red armor, which had an extra shield cell on it. So now it became like, okay, an extra 25. And you can see when you shoot people, you can see what color armor they have when you shoot them. So there's a visual indication for you on what the enemy is wearing. And while it had an extra 25 HP, it still wasn't as, like, gold still had a place. So now they revamped it to where it's just white is 1, blue is 2, purple is 3, and red is 4. Because now everybody spawns with an Evo shield. So this kind of gets rid of the... there's still armor, I guess, that you can loot. Like, you can still find... Because that was one of the things I was worried about when they announced this, was the loot. I love the whole loot part of the game. Like, oh, I got to find better gear, you know? Because that's always like, oh, I found a, you know, purple piece. Or, you know, that's the exciting part of Battle Royale is finding better stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they still have that in the game. So even though you start with a white, you can still find blue, purples, and golds in, but gold aren't Evo armor. It's just their own separate piece. But you can still find those. Or you can loot them off the people you've killed if someone you killed has a higher body piece. So that's still there. So I think that's a really cool addition. And then they introduced like this crafting system where you can pick up crafting materials, and there's these crafting stations, and every day, because they also introduced a new weapon to balance out the weapon pool, they essentially every day one weapon gets taken out of the pool and is only available from the crafting mechanic. So you get some crafting materials, you go to this crafting machine, you craft the gun if you want that gun, or the other items that rotate out, like there's random stuff, like you can get like med kits or shield cells or, you know, magazine. Extra magazine sizes increases, like heavy, level 3 heavy mags or something like that. So it's kind of cool, like they add this whole new mechanic, and then on top of just it being a new legend, map changes and all that stuff. So I really like what they did there, plus a lot of other weapon balancing that I like a lot. So they've done a lot that I'm really looking forward to playing, but again, I just haven't played it yet. I haven't played much of Fall Guys recently either. I was playing it with my cousin. He hasn't been on much. And then Flash hasn't been on much either because I recently started playing with him again.
Mm-hmm.
He had, because obviously he's got a kid, so he can't play that much, him and him. But yeah.
I wanted to play some, but we were using the PlayStation for GDQ this week, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to get it because they did do some patching. So that's one thing I love in the news. Is they did patch Fall Guys. There is a patch going live soon, I saw on Twitter, to add inverted controls for PS4, as well as I think they said something else. Oh, in Japan, I think they can change the jump button to a different button because, you know, they like circle over there, not, they don't do X.
Yeah.
They can change it. But the inverting the axis is going to be great. I'm like, oh, thank you. And then they also did a patch where the likelihood of certain final rounds is got reduced. I think of a Fall Mountain because it came around too much time, they reduced that. They're also going to be patching it to where there will no longer be back-to-back team games anymore, because typically it seemed like it was always two rounds of elimination, two rounds of team games, and then the final round. Typically with how it always felt. Now, depending on how many people got eliminated, sometimes it would be like two elimination rounds, a team game, maybe another elimination like Tiptoe, the squares that have the hidden path. And then the final round. So they're going to patch it out. They're also going to, that patch already went live. They're also going to patch to where now team games only happen if there's an even number of players available on each of the teams for that team game. So I thought that's really cool.
Oh,
but
that's good.
I feel like that's really going to eliminate a lot of team games.
Yeah.
Because some of them, like, sure, one person extra isn't that bad. Now, in fall ball, one person extra is a big deal, especially if it's 5-on-4, because now you have a dedicated goalie and four people to go attack. So if they have dedicated goalie on their team, then they're down one person, obviously. But for a game like that game where you push the ball like up the obstacle course and then it goes down the hill, like having an extra person there doesn't necessarily matter, because by the time you get to the end, if the other teams are at the end anyways, you're typically trying to block each other, no big deal. If it's team tail tag, I don't think an extra person really matters there, especially if it's just one. But so it'll be interesting to see how this changes some of this stuff. Like if we see like team games just drop off a ton, because especially unless they change the algorithm for or the math, like typically if you have a full 60 server, the first elimination race always gets rid of 15 people. So you have 45. The next one typically is supposed to get rid of 15 people as well, so you have 30. Now, if you didn't have a full server and you only have 57, it doesn't still go to 45. Then it goes, I think, like to 44 or 43. So it like it doesn't scale. It just takes that same amount. So I feel like, okay, well, if you want to have even games, then you have to make sure that the amount of people you're eliminating adjusts if there's not a full server. Or people DC in between rounds, because I feel like you eliminate that problem. But so it'd be interesting to see how. Also, I noticed like they added a new one of the end rounds they added from the beta back into the game. When I was playing it, my camera kept panning, and I thought like, do I have Joy-Con drift essentially on my right analog stick? Because that's for camera, because my camera just kept rotating. Now it rotated in the direction that the stuff was spinning, so it was quote unquote like beneficial. So I thought it was just part of that game type. Like they want you to be able to see what's coming ahead. So it's like, okay. Like you wouldn't rotate the camera the other way necessarily. But they said in patch notes they're gonna fix that. I'm like, oh thank God, it's not just me. it's happening to everybody. So thank God.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's cool to see a lot of stuff come there. And then in season 2, I guess it's gonna be announced at Jeff Keighley said he's going to announce it at the Gamescom or a live online event, whenever that is coming up. So we'll see if they announce new games there. But yeah, so I haven't played much. What I did pick up PGA Tour 2K21 because I've been watching, when I watch the NLSS, which is the streamer group that I watch, they play a lot of the Golf Club 2019 on there, and they just banter while they play it. But it looked like a lot of fun. I was like, man, I really want to play this game. But when I saw that 2K21 was coming out, I was like, well, I'm not going to buy the 2019 game. I'll wait. This is like a couple months ago, so I've been waiting for a while. But I picked it up, been playing it, a lot of fun, especially because it's not just a hit A three times kind of golf game. Like you actually have to, there's skill involved because you have to push the stick down and then push it up for the swing. But you can't just, like, it keeps track of the precision, like how accurate you were when you went from down to up. So, like, if you curve the joystick or the analog stick, then it knows that and you messed up, and, like, it'll affect your shot. For some reason, the game, though, the only problem I have is that it defaults to the right analog stick as your swing stick. But down on my analog stick in that game doesn't register as down. Like, I have to go, like, down, like, in the 5 o'clock position, like somewhere around there, and then it would be it. But up, direct up at midnight is still up. So it's not like it's just twisted. It's like it's just wrong, but I don't know why. Because I went into Apex, and I'm like, okay, let's go to the shooting range. Okay, I'm inverted. But I hit down, and it goes where it's supposed to. And if I, in that game has like minute, I go slightly left, slightly right, the cursor goes slightly left, slightly right. So it's like, it's fine in there. It's fine in Dying Light, like these other games I've been playing. It's just 2K21, it doesn't. So I flipped it to the left stick, which was perfect. Okay, at least that one works. So I've been using the left stick, which is fine. It doesn't really make any difference. But yeah, weird. A lot of fun. Like I said, it's relaxing. I've been playing it while watching stuff. It's just super fun. Mm-hmm. I just turn off the crowd so I don't hear the clapping.
no golf clubs.
But there's also like a course maker. And I was like, oh, well, I was wondering if they would import all the 2K19 games into it, or the Golf Club 2019. They're like, okay, that makes sense. You bring in all your most popular ones, but I don't think they are. So I played some custom courses last night. I was like, all right, well, let's play some custom maps. And I played one, and I was like, oh my god, this guy's just trolling. I'm like, this map is crap. And I played through the whole thing, and I just like two-starred it. I was like, nah, bad map. It's just like, it was so like, this guy like had crazy downhill. So like, if you end up hitting it, like your ball just rolls like 80 yards downhill into the water, and then it's like his green. Like once you get to the green or the, oh my gosh, yeah, the green, and it's like, there is, it's not, it's never flat. It's always like you have to putt uphill. And if you miss the hole, it's just downhill on the other side into the fringe or into a bunker. I'm like, why would you design it like this? I was like,
to be annoying.
I know, right? It's like, it's just a trolling map. And like, it, why, I don't know why you do that. Like in real life, yeah, they put some angle on certain parts of the green. So there's some slope. So there's a bit of a challenge. You don't just, you know, take the mountain terrain editing tool and just swipe it over the green there where the pin is and be like, nope, you're playing on the Andes. It's like, no, you don't, come on, man. It's just bad. but yeah, it's a lot of fun. I wish, I'm hoping, I told my cousin, like, you gotta get it so we can play golf. I've just been, I said, if everybody's golf wasn't, the biggest problem with that game is that you have to play the game to unlock the maps, which is super annoying. So it's like you have to play until someone, you play enough, and then eventually someone challenges you, and it's always on the new course, and you have to beat that person on the challenge to get the new course. And that, it's like, so if I want to play in multiplayer, he can't buy the game, download it, and then we just play together. It's like, no, he's only got course one, which is fine. You know, we're at 18 holes. But it's like, no, you should be able to unlock everything from the start. It's like, that's the biggest problem with the game. Plus, there's less skill, because again, it's, this game is just a press A twice golf game. It's like, yeah, they're skilled hitting A. It's the last time because you have to get it in between a certain point. But I do like the skill needed for the PGA Tour. So I mean, it's not like it's that difficult, but as you increase difficulties, your window of tolerance for messing up does shrink down. But yeah, it's just a lot of fun. Yeah, outside of that, that's basically it. Just got to play Fall Guys again, and got to play Apex Season 6. Yeah. All right. Well, I also want to play Civ 6. That's the game, man. Civ 6, I wish I had other people to play that. Because that's a game I'll play like the first 60 turns, and then I'll just stop. And then I won't save it, but I'll just like play like the first 60. Like I'm watching a movie. All right, I'll play some Civ 6. I wish I knew people that play the game, because I'd love to play the game, because then I could just do on like the high speed where games are super short and everything is done super quick. But anyways, all right, well, that'll wrap it up for this episode. Hopefully we'll have Gamescom event with Jeff Keighley is supposed to be, is that the end of August, is that when it is, or is it, I think it might be the 28th. Let's
see. I have no idea. I stopped tracking things because I figured everything.
I lost you there for a second.
Whoops. Okay.
Now you're back. Yeah, you faded out like you didn't hold your button. Oh, here we go.
27th?
And Gamescom. Mm. Yeah, 27th through 30th is when the heart of gaming. Where's the Jeff Keighley one? Because I know, like we talked about last time, they announced Heart of Gaming, but it's going to kind of focus on at-home kind of stuff.
I don't know. I don't see it.
But what a crazy fun Gamescom Open Night Live we have coming together. So I think the Opening Night Live is what's going to be like the main focus. Okay, yeah, because Jeff Keighley says lots to share in the coming days on 2 hours of games for you next Thursday. So yeah, I guess when it starts on Thursday, that's going to be like the games heavy focus. Like here's all the stuff, and then everything else is going to be like, you know, what to expect. Yeah, so Gamescom's organizers haven't shared specific details on what to expect in this now slimmed down format. Typically, Gamescom is full of publishers sharing additional details about games announced at E3 and occasionally making new brand new announcements. It's also going to highlight European publishers. Keighley recently promised over 20 games as part of his Opening Night Live showcase, so about 20 games apparently in those 2 hours, with news and new footage from upcoming games, likely give you a broad overview of further plans from developers to showcase their games in more depth. Yada yada. Neither Sony nor Microsoft have promised any hardware reveals at Gamescom. That makes sense. Nintendo's gone quiet. Yeah, yeah. So it looks like, yeah, just the 2-hour event is going to be like the main showcase. It's going to be like, that's the E3 bit. All kind of condensed. And then everything else will be, who knows what. But yeah, so I guess that's good. So we'll get that on Thursday so we can talk about it at least a week. All right. Well, I guess we have that looking forward to. Hopefully get a lot of, doesn't sound like it. Who knows if we'll get anything new. Probably just be updates on other stuff that's already been announced, but maybe get some fresh looks at some games that we haven't seen gameplay for yet, or I don't know, maybe we'll see some more Resident Evil 8 or something. Who knows? Alright, well, that'll wrap up for this episode. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Cypher, for joining.